All right, welcome, guys. Here we go. Welcome, welcome. All right, here we go. Second edition, second episode.
I already welcomed Travis into this little thing because, you know.
Welcome, Travis.
What's up, guys?
Good time to join us. All right, I don't know what to talk about. What should we talk about?
All right, Super Bowl 52, hell of a game.
Yeah, it's actually on NFL Network as we're recording this. I just turned it on.
Oh, I'm going to have to put that
on. Just the play with Corey Clement. Looked like he bobbled it, but they called it a touchdown.
Yeah, I was actually – I watched the whole half-hour version of the game in my class just now. The guy was boring. I was like, well, I'll get ready for the podcast tonight.
There you go. Study up.
I should have done that at work, man. I was so dead.
I mean, but, you're pulling shoes. You got to be somewhat – you know, vigilant for customers.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. But
I mean, first things first, hats off to the Eagles. Congratulations to the city of Philadelphia.
I mean, we were all wrong, right? All of us were wrong. We all picked the Patriots.
I picked the Eagles. What are you talking about?
You picked the Eagles? Oh, yeah, you did pick the – no, you did pick the Eagles.
I had New England all the way.
Yeah, me and Travis had New England.
Before the playoffs, I had New England.
That was tough, man. That was some game back and forth. Just throughout. I mean, it was
New England didn't even take the lead until it was
The fourth 30, quarter, 30, third or fourth 30? Quarter. Yeah,
33-32. That was their first lead.
And I mean, and think about it though. They played offensively a great game. I mean, they left some yards out there, some points out there, but they played. I mean, as well as you can. Look how many yards Brady had. 500 yards.
I mean, Brady had 505 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. His only turnover was in the fourth quarter on that one drive. That fumble with the strip sack. Eagles defense came up big there.
I got to ask you guys something because I'm an outsider here. I'm not a Giants fan. Both of you are big Giants fans.
As a Giants fan, yeah.
There are people I've spoken to who are Giants fans who were rooting for the Eagles last night.
I have no idea how. I can't defend how any team, any fan of a team in the NFC East can root for the Eagles in the Super Bowl. Could have root for the Eagles in the Super Bowl. And any fan in the AFC East
fan,
root for the Patriots.
We have the Patriots.
We beat them twice already, yeah. Why do we have
Exactly. 2-0.
I mean, the only reasoning for it I could see is if they hate the city of Boston more than they hate the city of Philadelphia. But I mean, look at the don't get me wrong. I love the Yankees. I hate the Red Sox. Respect the Red Sox, but I hate them. Philly, man. Philly, I mean, all of them. Like, all their fans. Like, look at them. Look what they did after they won the Super Bowl, dude. They destroyed the city. They're eating horse shit, like, voluntarily. Like,
yeah. That was
disgusting. I was like, what is going on? I saw that last night.
As a Giants fan, I knew right away as soon as the matchup was set, New England and Philly, I was going to New England.
I was rooting for Philly to lose.
There's just zero chance I can root for the Philadelphia.
I was hoping the Eagles would lose in the first game against the Falcons.
I would rather see the Dallas Cowboys win over the Eagles, to be honest with you. It's just I can't stand the Eagles, but they deserved it.
They played one hell of a game.
And they won with a backup quarterback.
I'm only asking that because I have heard Giants fans say
I've heard
they're rooting for Philly.
I heard it all over. I was listening.
If it was me, if the Vikings had made it, I was hoping New England would win 200-0.
Yeah.
I could never root for a division title.
Never could. But
the only way I can see that is like what Sean said, is if you look at it from a city standpoint.
Yeah, but that's different. You know what I mean? Like,
if you're from the
especially with football, you play each other twice a year. It's like a meaningful game.
Right.
There's, you know, it's Philly, bro. Like, everything about Philly. I mean, Philly, don't get me wrong, it's a beautiful city. I visited there a couple times. It's real nice. But, like, you know, New York, Philly, they're just different people, just like New York, Boston are. But if New York, Boston, if you're a Jet fan, I understand, like, my brother, he's a Jets fan. He was rooting for the Eagles. I understand that because he's division rivals, the Patriots. But, I don't know how Giant fans or really any fans of the division rival could say that.
I mean, I could see your point with maybe hating the city. Could it maybe be like the New York greed not wanting Brady to get another ring?
I could see that too. Yeah. Or being honestly, we're the Giants, we're the only team to beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
I mean, hell, you're 2-0 against them in the Super Bowl. Who cares?
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, two is still greater than one.
He's already got five. Like,
yeah.
What's the sixth one really gonna do?
He's playing
the way he played in the Super Bowl next year, I mean, he could win six.
He's doing fine.
They're already the early favorites.
He's got a ring for each finger on one hand. I mean, he's got a smoking hot wife, great family. You know,
French is his son.
First ballot. He's doing okay. Yeah,
that was awful.
That's about. But he woke up today, you know, a little upset, I'm sure. But
I mean, yeah, anytime you lose, you work that hard all season and you lose in the biggest game.
No matter who you are.
You know, but
back
to the game, I really don't think the Patriots offense, they missed the extra point, missed the field goal on the botch snap.
Did they miss two extra points or a field goal and an extra
field goal and extra point? And then the Brady drop.
Field goal and the next point. Right.
They didn't punt all game.
First team in Super Bowl history to ever lose a game without punting once.
That's insane.
I didn't even realize that. And it's not like they're playing,
you know, a terrible defense. You know, they're playing not like they're playing the Saints of a couple of years ago. They're playing one of the best defenses in the league. Right. And
actually,
Go on, Sean. They had one sack. And it was the biggest play of the game.
It was the fumble at the end.
And it's, you know, it's kind of ironic because the biggest play of the game that really turned around the game last year against the Falcons was Hightower's strip sack against Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
You know, right. It just comes full circle.
Right.
And what I found amazing with this game now, I'm not a big fan of high offensive shootouts because the Packers have certainly lost their fair share of shootouts. But
right. They put up 50 points and still lose.
But I actually think the Patriots defense, after watching the highlights in class, the Patriots defense played better than the Eagles defense, and they still lost. So maybe this time the Eagles offense won the championship for them as opposed to their defense. Maybe.
Yeah.
Right.
Definitely. But, I mean, Brady played, besides the one mistake he made was the drop. I mean, I don't that the fumble wasn't his fault. It was just a hell of a
play. He didn't even throw
it. It was
ball.
A hell of a play. Yeah. And
that drop,
and
really.
It was just, you know, just a hell of a play. It wasn't even like he was holding the ball loosely or anything like that. It was
the throw,
I'm not trying to I respect Brady. I'm not a lover of Brady. Because, you know, the whole Boston thing, but that wasn't the greatest throw. He's got to catch it. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
but that was a little too out in front.
I was always taught.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm not saying he shouldn't have. He should have caught it, but it wasn't as like Nick Foles' catch. And there's no one there, and he turned around, and it was right in his chest, right at the numbers.
Right. Who threw that?
Burton, the backup tight end.
Trey Burton throw it.
Yeah, it was a hell of a throw. That was some play call, man.
I mean, that was a hell of a play call to see New England. Do
they did on fourth and goal.
Pull out the longest yard stuff.
Now, exactly.
And they were – it got it easy.
I saw that play coming a mile away.
Yeah, we called it. We were like
– a mile away. When Foles started sneaking to the line, it reminded me of Adam Saylor in the longest yard. Not even joking. Looked like the exact same – not formation, but – and then they did the snap right to –
Clement.
Clement. Snap. Clement.
Dude.
And Trey Burton ended up getting it. And you saw a full sneak out.
I got to give props to my man J-Mac over here. First podcast, we're talking X Factors. Mine was the running backs, which, I mean, they played it for the Patriots. They played a good role.
They averaged over 5 yards per carry.
Yeah, they had a good role. But J-Mac comes in with Corey Clement.
I was money.
This guy had a hell of a day.
Very good call. The catch in the end zone.
He had four catches for 100 yards and a touchdown as the third running back.
He had that one play that set up a touchdown.
It seemed like every time he touched the ball, he was going for 30 yards.
First one, you got to get him in open space. Make Patriots defenders tackle him because he's a weapon. And the Eagles did that, and Doug Peterson exposed the Patriots defense with that.
Right.
Especially in the second half, like later in the game, it seemed like every single play call by the Eagles, they were going for 10, 15 yards. And it wasn't even like they were open. They were just going 10 or 15 yards. The Patriots, it seemed like their receivers were wide open, like, all game.
Well, I mean, if you look at Brady's, and I was this bored in class, I was able to do this. Brady's stat line was 28 for 48 for 505 touchdowns. He had a completion percentage of 58%. That's not great.
No.
Now, of the 505 yards, I actually calculate. I was this bored in class, guys.
A lot of time.
On his hands.
200 yards of those 505 came off of busted coverages by the Eagles.
Dude, how much time did you have? Jesus.
There was a lot of whole screenplays, man. Jeez.
And a nice play designed by the Patriots coaching staff on their first possession when Hogan went for like 25.
Yeah, I remember that.
So a huge chunk of those yards, 200 of them, came from the Eagles' lack of defense. So
mistakes made.
Brady's stats are a little gassed up, I think. I mean, he still played a hell of a game, but they're a little gassed.
But think about it, like, he had over 200 yards, like you said, of, like, you know, wide open plays or broken plays, and they still didn't win. That's amazing, man.
It shows you how good.
Yeah, and the Patriots seem to go back to the beginning of the season when they really struggled defensively, and were letting up huge. I mean, we'll get into the Malcolm Butler situation in a little bit, but it just seemed like, they did. First of all, I got to give credit to Foles. Man, he was dropping dime after dime after dime.
He outplayed Brady. He completely outplayed Tom Brady.
He played about as well as a quarterback has played in the Super Bowl.
His one interception was because Jeffrey bobbled.
Yeah, it wasn't even – it's not his fault. And it wasn't really Jeffrey's fault.
No.
But, like, look, I'm watching the game now, the recap of the game. It's in the third quarter. The throws he made last night were ridiculous. And it –
back shoulder fade to Aguilar for like 24.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, exactly. It's just a perfect throw. Perfect throw. And it's crazy because, I mean, look, he contemplated retirement before he came back to the Eagles. I mean, and he was serious about it. And then early in the year, I mean, he didn't look – I mean, when he first came in, he was injured in the preseason. He didn't have a real preseason. But in the beginning part when he first started after Wentz went down, I mean, he looked good, but he looked good at times. He looked awful at other times. And then the postseason, I really got to give credit to Doug Peterson. His play call, the aggressive play call, and the run game that they had. And the, I mean, helps when you have the best offensive line in the league. It really does. But
saw that last year with Dallas.
Yeah. Dallas looked great last year because they ran the ball and they had a great line. So Dak had time and people were open.
Dak had time.
It's so important. I mean, look, if you look at the teams, like, if you can run the ball and you have a good offensive line, it just makes it so much easier. I mean, Blake Bortles played a hell of a postseason because they could run the ball and because they played great defense and their line played really well. That's, I mean, that's, it seems simple that you just have to win the line of scrimmage, but it's true. In pretty much every game, if you win the line of scrimmage, I mean, I never played football, but it's just watching it as a fan. You win the line of scrimmage. The Eagles dominated the line of scrimmage offensively and even defensively for the most part last night. And they won. They won.
It paid off.
Paid off really well.
Yep.
But, you got to give credit to Foles. He definitely deserved the MVP.
Yeah,
and, you know. And it's tough because if New England had – all they had to do pretty much was make one stop and then capitalize. And when they got the stop, they didn't capitalize. The strip sack, they had the drive. They had plenty of time. Philly scored, I think it was like 2.5 minutes or 2:20 left.
That was my lone criticism minutes. For Doug Peterson was
– he scored way too early.
Well, but the play calling also, he could have, I think, on second down, he threw the ball and it was incomplete, so New England was able to save their last time out.
Yeah, yeah.
They were calling timeouts before.
That was a head-scratcher.
The first three downs, he threw the ball every time. And I'm like, it was 2:50 left, I think it was, when they got the first down and they were close. I'm like, Why are you throwing the what? Just run the ball. Run the ball twice and then
the
throw
way
it.
They were running the ball, they were
successful running the ball.
3-4 yards at
yeah,
a
they
time.
Were doing a hell of a job running the ball.
So, I mean, you just got to keep that clock ticking.
Yeah.
But throwing that ball out of bounds, trying to score again, really helped New England out because they got to save that timeout.
Exactly.
Plus, they had the two.
It gave them that. It gave them. Exactly.
The defense came to play, and they got the ball back out of Brady's
hands. It gave
hands.
Them that chance.
But if that doesn't happen.
It gave him that chance for the Hail Mary. Yeah, if he ran the ball, who knows? Maybe they wouldn't have gotten that last drive.
They would have had to use their third timeout.
Yeah, they would have had to use their third timeout, right. And then they would, you know. But, I mean, his defense bailed him out, I guess. I mean, it wasn't really a bonehead decision, but I just
–
I mean, it worked, but
– Which is the balls
yeah, especially with Brady, because it just seems like every time Brady has a chance – To get that last drive, he does it, and this was the first time in a while that he didn't do it. I mean, think about
I hit the nail on the head in that first podcast, guys.
Yeah, woo-hoo. Jeff was on the money. Gotta give him credit. I mean, look at the two Giants Super Bowl losses. The Giants had that last drive. Really, it wasn't, you know, if my memory's right, but yeah,
Black
and then
scored with I think 17 seconds left.
Yeah, I mean, when I'm talking a drive, like, you know, like a nice minute, 45 seconds, that's, you know, when you have 17 seconds, it's really, I mean, you really can't do anything unless you're a miracle. But I think the big storyline was what happened with Malcolm Butler after. I didn't even realize watching the game that he wasn't on the field until they said it.
That's why he looked a little.
He looked, yeah, we pointed that out. I think I pointed that out to you, Travis, when we were watching. I was like, dude, why is he so emotional? Why is he crying?
Right. I didn't even see it like as it was happening. I saw it when they like went back to it when they mentioned him.
Yeah, I saw what was happening.
Second like, quarter when they talked about it.
Yeah, he was.
I mean, granted, it's the Super Bowl. They work all season, their whole lives essentially to get here. So you know, there's going to be emotions.
And
there's going to be some crying, of course, but. We thought the tears were coming as, like, this is one of the biggest games of my life.
Yeah, here we go.
But really, it was because...
Something else.
He had just been informed he's not going to be playing on the...
Yeah, I wonder if they're, you know...
He played, what, two special team snaps?
Two special team snaps. Like, he played, like, 98 or 97% of the snaps throughout the season.
Now, who took
Eric Rowe, yeah,
Rowe,
he got
right?
torched.
Yeah, Eric Rowe.
I mean, some of the...
And
the,
he was covering all...
I mean, Alshon Jeffrey caught that touchdown. Eric Rowe was all
right. But just a beautiful throw
beautiful
by
throw,
Foles, which
beautiful catch.
Debatably was going to be a touchdown regardless of who was out there.
But
not having Malcolm Butler out there definitely changed.
He won them a Super Bowl with the play against the Seahawks. He won them a Super Bowl with that play.
Right.
So
on the goal line
he's performed well in Super Bowls. And I don't know.
Sean and I both said it before. I mean, they couldn't have been much worse with him out there.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, yeah,
exactly.
I mean,
it doesn't hurt your chances to have him
exactly.
out there.
Like he might not be he might not be the best corner on their team. I think Gilmore is probably right neck and neck. Gilmore's played better.
Gilmore made that play.
Yeah, I mean, he played well yesterday too. He played well yesterday against Jeffrey when they put on him.
He played well yesterday, but they were just picking on Rowe. Alshon had it going. Foles was on the money, throwing dimes.
Yeah, it was,
and it just
I don't think it would have hurt. I don't know if he would have won the game.
No,
I mean, we'll never know that.
That's what I said. We'll never know because we'll never get Super Bowl 52 back with Malcolm Butler guarding Alshon Jeffrey. And I think Philly would have won regardless because everything on offense,
dude, everything was working.
But we'll never know because Malcolm
the
Butler
only
never stepped on the field for a defensive snap.
If you guys are watching the game right now, that only play that didn't work was they try to do that fake reverse screen to Aguilar.
That was I actually have that in my notes. Lone criticism for Doug Peterson was
that was a bad call.
Throw to Aguilar in the flat on 3rd and 3.
Yeah, no one's there.
Yeah, that was he. Made
I mean,
over,
the guy, the linebacker, I forgot his name, Flowers or whatever from the Patriots.
Right here,
he made a hell of a
there's
play,
three,
but there's
three Patriots around. We won't go anywhere.
And this kid, the rookie kicker, was money, dude. Big kick. He was money all year. He didn't just beat the Giants. He single-handedly ruined their season. Because after that, they had a chance to beat the Eagles, to go to 1-2, maybe, you know, get a little momentum.
Yeah,
they played well.
Yeah. And he nailed that 60-yarder.
Nailed the 60-61-yarder, and that pretty much ended the year. Yeah. But,
I mean, we were going to have regardless of what it looked like, but being,
and as
point being, is a hell of a kicker.
As Jeff, as two Giant fans here, me and Travis, this last night capped off one of the worst seasons we could possibly have. Our star receiver.
This is just heartbreaking. As a
our
Giants
star receiver breaks his ankle or leg. Our quarterback of, you know, Eli Manning gets benched. We go freaking, what, 3-13? 3-13. You have the number 2 pick. And of all the teams to win the Super Bowl, it's the fucking the freaking Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles. Any, you know, if it was the Redskins,
right,
it'd be different.
I don't even mind.
Yeah, because they sucked their whole life.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, they've been better lately with Cousins. I mean, we could probably talk about that whole thing later at the end.
Who's now going to
but, enough, yeah, eventually. I mean, they've been better with Cousins. They had that 1 year with RG3.
They won the division.
Yeah, and then he blew out his knee and ended his career. Now he's.
I think they lost to Seattle.
Yeah, because he blew out his knee, and now he's playing YMCA basketball with 50-year-old men.
He's gone.
I mean, yeah, because they've never been Super Bowl contenders, you know?
They're like my Detroit Lions.
Almost. Exactly, yeah. Detroit's had their years, but it's not.
You don't like them. They're in the division, but they're not that much of a threat.
Not compared to the other teams.
But you still don't like them. But,
I respect the Chicago Bears and the Minnesota Vikings. I wouldn't mind if, you know, they just left the league.
Especially after they ruined your boy season, breaking his collarbone, Aaron Rodgers. But back to the Super Bowl, because it was such a great game. I think a big play in the game too was early when Cooks got absolutely destroyed.
That hurts losing 1 year.
Because I think about it, their whole year,
essentially one of the best receivers in the league. And he gets knocked out.
Blindsided, lit up.
It's funny you guys bring that play up, because that was another play that factored into Brady's, 200 yards that I thought were gassed up his stats. That was a 23-yard pass he caught. The Eagles had 10 men on the field on that play.
Didn't even know that.
Jeff Ted doing film didn't study in the whatever.
Didn't
Jeff, what class
that,
did you have?
You just see Brandon Cooks.
What class were you in?
Emergency communications.
Yeah, he's doing film, Super Bowl film study in emergency communications.
So, I mean, it was a hell of a – it was a nice catch, but Eagles were playing
Jeff,
with one
do you
man
have
down.
How many receptions Gronk had in the first half?
I think he had one for
nine.
Now, that's a big –
you know what didn't make sense to me?
Nine receptions. Two touchdowns and about 100.
What didn't make sense for me from Jim Schwartz, the defensive coordinator of the Eagles, is first half, they were doubling Gronk, all over him. The Patriots lose Cooks, so they have three receivers. They have Amendola, Hogan, and Dorsett. Dorsett's not really much of a factor. So they literally have Gronk, two receivers, Hogan and Amendola, and then their running backs, whoever's on the field. I don't know why all of a sudden they started trying to go man-to-man or single coverage with Gronk, because he just tore them up the second half.
Well, I mean, if you look at Gronk right now, I mean, let's say he does retire. Can we all agree he will be in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, yeah. He might be one of the best tight ends of all time.
Okay.
He's certainly, one of the most dynamic and unique pass catchers ever, because he's so big and he's so fast.
Right. So the 1-9 in the first half, I mean, you know he's gonna get some more targets.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Half,
and you can see the first drive of the second half, it was get Gronk the ball, four targets right to him.
Yeah,
move right down the field. And he scored a touchdown.
Now that's one thing the Patriots wish they can have back, because I was just thinking that in my head just now when I asked you guys how many catches he had in the first half. Now, if they could have got the ball to him more in the first half, I don't know. Like you said, he was being double covered. It may have helped the offense out a little
and
more.
And if they had Cooks.
But definitely losing Cooks hurt a lot. You already don't have Edelman the whole season. That's not even – he's gone.
Yeah, torn ACL. Didn't play one game.
Right. Now you have Amendola, who's – Very, very good in my
opinion. He's underrated, man. He had very good receiver. I think he had like 9 catches for like 150 yards or something incredible. Like that.
Even though he did. He did.
Something like and it didn't even it was like a quiet 150 yards.
Right.
But
I think he's an awesome receiver. I think he's great no matter who's throwing to him if he can stay healthy.
Amendola? You could say the same thing about Hogan too.
Right.
Because
now Hogan,
Hogan's like, even bigger than Amendola.
He played lacrosse in college.
Yeah.
He was with the Monmouth.
He's like, a Bergen County native. It's up here, right. Up by us.
He's another one. Tom Brady just made these guys awesome. But I mean,
yeah, I think
having getting back on track, having Cooks out for the game
early, like it wasn't like it was early too.
It was like the what was it?
The it might be maybe the second try, and it wasn't just like. I mean, he. He got
destroyed. No, it was in the second quarter, I'm pretty sure.
He got second destroyed.
Quarter. Regardless, it was very, very early. And that hurts right away.
I mean, look, here we go, the replay, the second Gronk touchdown. That's a ridiculous catch.
That's a great throw.
Yeah, and I think back, you know, Jeff mentioned the retirement comments, how he said he would look at it and stuff. I think, like, don't get me wrong, if I'm him, I'm certainly thinking about it. He's got the elbow. He plays with, like, a freaking brace and a
butt. He's got back injury.
Back injury, his knee injury, he's just had a concussion. Like, he clearly has been beat up, especially when you're so big. Like, who are you going to, you know, how are you going to tackle him? You can't tackle him, like, normal. Like, you got to go low. If you go high, you go high. You know, it's a unique person to tackle.
Nobody that can cover – you know who covers him very good?
Eric Berry, right?
Yeah. Eric Berry.
He's, like, the only one that's been able to, like, shut him down, kind of.
He's the only defensive back that can even put up a fight.
Like, they had – on the second touchdown, they had Ronald Darby, who had a hell of a game, had a hell of a season, who's a pretty good corner. I'm not going to say he's an elite corner, but he's good.
That's solid, too.
He's not a no-name
But he got destroyed on that. Malcolm Jenkins is a great safety. He gets destroyed on it. You put anybody on – Jalen Ramsey, he had a good moments, but they put – you know, the great Jacksonville defense.
He's built like a DN who runs like a 4.6, 4.5.
It's ridiculous. And Travis Kelce, I mean –
And the athleticism.
Travis Kelce and even Zach Ertz in this game are kind of that same way, not as big as Gronk and not as, you know, potent as Gronk, but they're real dangerous. But what was I going to say here? But, yeah, Gronk, I mean, just – he's a freak. But I understand – back to the retirement. I understand why he would say that. I think because I was watching, you know, ESPN NFL Network kind of flipping around yesterday and then this morning and then this afternoon. And they were saying – a lot of them were saying I think it was, you know, heat of the moment after the loss because he's been winning. I mean, I think he was in the second Giants loss, but he's won – he's been his whole, you know, career. But, he's been, you know, a winner. So it's tough, and especially after overcoming a concussion, you know.
Just seeing this guy on the field, Rob Gronkowski, it's as a football fan, it's incredible. You love to see him play. You love his intensity. You love
his personality.
His athleticism, everything. Now, I don't think he's going to retire. And like you said, Sean, I 100% agree that why he would contemplate it. He's had the injuries. He just came off a concussion for the umpteenth time.
And there was no way he was healthy going into that game.
No, yeah, because he got cleared so late. Like, he got cleared, what, Thursday or Friday?
He got cleared on Wednesday. He only just started practicing.
Yeah, he only full practice, I think, Thursday. He only had, like, what, 2 full practices.
I'm just saying he was definitely still feeling some symptoms of that concussion.
I mean, look at him. Look at him. He's like always concussed. Just look at him. Right. He just has that, you know, goofball, like I love football, pick things up, put them down personality that it looks like.
But I know he said it. I know he's thinking it. But as a fan, I hope he doesn't. And I honestly don't think he will. But I think he's going to seriously.
Oh, yeah, I think so. They had a poll question.
I think, obviously, Brady will retire before him.
After yesterday, you don't know. There was a poll question. I was listening to, I think, ESPN New York Radio or something like that. And they have, like, the in-between, you know, commercial breaks and stuff. And the guy, the host, who's the morning guy, Gordon Damer, he goes, I got a poll question up. And it was, who's going to leave and retire? Who's going to leave their team first? Nick Foles, Rob Gronkowski, Bill Belichick, or Tom Brady? And
Foles.
I think 100%. Foles, yeah, unless Gronk retires. I mean, I'm not going to say 50-50. Right,
that's the only question.
I'm probably like, yeah, you know, 75% he returns to 25. I don't really, you know, it's still early. I mean, it's a day after the Super Bowl that we're recording this.
Now, but the last season or so, the Eagles have absolutely killed the free agency game.
It's ever since they got rid of Chip Kelly, because Chip Kelly gutted them and ruined them.
Right. Now, and then if they have any sense, in my opinion, Nick Foles has 1 year left on his contract. You know what I would do? $7 million.
You go.
They should get rid of him. You know what I would do, though?
Because of when Wentz tore his ACL and it was kind of late. You don't right. know. Yeah, hold on till the beginning and maybe trade him by like the deadline, you know, if he's still there.
Right.
And if just to see how, because you don't know, like, what if he misses a week, you know, on like whoever, like right now, if they have Nate Sudfeld, you don't want Nate Sudfeld starting the year.
Yeah, he's technically, and plus, if you trade,
it's going to be tough to trade Foles, especially he brings you your first ever Super Bowl and you're going to trade him in the offseason. Yeah. I understand why, don't get me wrong. Like, it's some smart decision to do because you're going to get picks. But, or, right, you know, get some kind of value for him because the way he played. But I also think that the way he, how high of a level he played was in large part because of the team he was playing on and because of the coaching and the right. play calling.
Hopefully he can keep it up. Last night, I mean, I've always kind of liked Nick Foles, you know, whatever. He's a good guy. But last night he proved to me he's a pretty good ball player. Now, like you said, because of the system he's in, yeah, the coaching, the players he's around, certainly helps. I just hope he can keep it up with another team.
That's the thing, you know?
But I agree with you, Sean. Carson Wentz tore his ACL against
Rams.
Rams in L.A., and it was later in the season.
I know nowadays ACL injuries. Yeah. Nowadays ACL injuries are so much faster recovery.
It's like 8 months right. about.
But, yeah, it's 8 to – and, it, you know, right. you never know. You never know.
Maybe hold on to him for the first couple of weeks of the season. See how Wentz does, and then maybe before the deadline next season, you know, throw his name around on the trade block. See who wants him. Because I guarantee you, there's teams that are going to bid for him. They don't want him, especially if he keeps playing the way he played against Minnesota and last night. Damn right, there's going to be teams that want him.
I mean, he had ridiculous postseason numbers. His one turnover. Was not even, it was the turnover in the Super Bowl, the interception that wasn't his.
It was Alshon Jeffrey who had that ball.
Yeah, he just bobbled it and then it came out and it just happened to be up in the air and there happened to be Harmon there.
He's been playing lights out. Minnesota being the number one defense. On
Eagles
paper,
probably what?
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they were. I think Eagles were top five.
And New England, who doesn't have a bad defense.
Yeah. Oh, why am I saying Eagles?
They didn't have Malcolm Butler, but still a great defense. But, you know, he's. And he also threw the 7 touchdowns how many years ago?
27-2, I mean, yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good player, and I wish him the best of luck. Hopefully he can, you know, have success with a different team if he leaves.
Yeah.
But if I'm the Eagles, I would try to get some sort of value.
But if I'm a team, that doesn't get Cousins or doesn't get a top pick,
right,
he's got a 1-year, $7 million contract. So even if he is not playing to the level that he played in the playoffs here, with the Eagles,
right?
What is for now?
Which is understandable. Yeah, this is unbelievable. This performance that you put on.
But it's under. It's a reasonable contract where you can have like it's a $7 million contract. I mean, look, freaking Matt Stafford's making close to $30 million, and Cousins is gonna make a lot of money. You know, in the first round picks, the top picks,
begging for that mega deal in Washington, and here comes Alex Smith. And now Washington says, all right, now we got to find a home for Kirk.
Yeah, you saw that? That they might franchise him so they could trade him. But if you franchise him, first of all, he's not. If I'm him, I'm not signing that. I'm not signing a franchise tag. Well, I mean,
tag for him this year is going to be like $27 million.
They say it's going to be over $30 million. It's going to be like 32 and a half, I think it was.
All right,
so the last year was 28, 27. 32 and a half is the last time he ever be able to be franchised in his career, because you can only be franchised 3 times in your career. It's going to go right against the Washington's cap. If I'm any team in the league, first of all, he's not going to make – I don't think he's going to make $32 million if he becomes a free agent. I understand why they want to.
No.
franchise him to get some picks back or something.
It makes sense.
But
it makes sense.
No team in their right mind is going to trade draft picks for a player that doesn't want to be on that team and is going to have to pay him $32 million.
The only team that can really do it
is the Browns because they have much cap space.
They need a quarterback.
Correct. But they can't be that dumb to do that.
They're taking Darnold.
I could see. They have to.
I think they.
We'll certainly get into a draft podcast as the combine comes up
and, later.
Yeah, and then the draft and all that stuff later in the spring almost. Thank God.
Here's something I wanted to bring up about the Super Bowl last night, Jeff. Maybe you got some input on this. Your X factor last night, Corey Clement, on that touchdown reception in the back of the end zone, triple coverage. Hell of a throw by Foles, by the way. What are your thoughts on that? What does it catch to you? Because that certainly looked incomplete to me, honestly. But then here comes the Ertz play that they took.
12 years.
It felt like 10 minutes to look at Ertz. I thought that was a touchdown.
The Zach Ertz touchdown. As soon as I saw them taking about 3, 4, 5 minutes looking at the replay,
I knew they were going to rule it a touchdown
because he had possession and he was clearly diving for the end zone, which made him a runner. So I even tweeted once that ball breaks that plane.
Once the ball breaks the plane, it's a touchdown.
Right.
As soon as he went to the ground, which, again, that rule's also foggy because normally the ground can't cause a fumble. But in this case, they said it was a fumble and he recovered it in the end zone.
He got his own fumble.
I mean, if the ground can't cause a fumble, why can the ground cause an incomplete pass? I'm sure Steeler fans are pissed off about that with the whole Jesse James.
It was very similar to the Jesse James thing.
They called it incomplete.
If my opinion, if the ground can't cause a fumble, it shouldn't cause an incomplete pass either.
Yeah, I think what should be done, especially in the red zone, if you catch the ball and you have possession, you get 2 feet down in the red zone, it's a touchdown. It shouldn't be that you have to, like, you know, complete the process. You're past the plane. You know, if you're a runner, you all you have to do is cross the plane.
Once that ball breaks that plane,
It should be like the Jesse James. He caught it, crossed the plane, and then he fell and dropped, and then he bobbled it. So it shouldn't be, you know. And then the Corey Clement one.
Getting back to that, I
really thought it was incomplete. I really thought that was incomplete.
It's probably not.
The way they kept showing it is that it looked like he bobbled it
I personally, you know, I didn't think he caught it, but based on my prediction of him being my X factor, I was kind of hoping they did rule it a touchdown.
Which is understandable. But the way it looked like on that angle when he bobbled it, I think it was his left foot. One of his feet just touched the back of the end zone out of bounds right after he bobbled it.
From the replay,
so I assumed right away incomplete.
When he first caught the ball, he didn't have possession when that 1 foot was down yet. From what I think, he didn't have possession when the first foot was down. He got possession when the second foot came down, and when that third foot came down, his toes were out of bounds.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I agree with you 100%.
I think that I really thought that they were going to overturn that because it seemed like a clear bobble. I mean, I kind of understand why they didn't because it was close, and I'm not going to say that like made or break the game, made or, you know, ruin the game or whatever.
It wasn't like an obvious call.
It wasn't like an obvious call like the earlier ones this year, but I still think that was but. Roger Goodell said it in all the interviews and his, you know, state of the league address or whatever, that they have to address the catch rule. And they definitely do. I mean, I don't know. Nobody knows what a catch is anymore.
I think they really – I'm sorry, Jeff. Go ahead.
I'll let you talk because what Sean said, like, it was a big, like, play in the game. I found 6 plays that I think gave the Eagles the win. But I'll let you go, Travis.
All right, let me just say this, and then we'll get to your 6 plays. All I'm going to say is I think Now, they've done this 100 times in the past, but this offseason, they have to get all the head referees, whoever's working the games next season, they have to sit down with the owners, whomever it may be, and they have to get this rule settled because it's making and breaking way too many plays. I mean, way too many games. I'm not saying that that Clement touchdown would have changed anything, like Sean said, but they have to sit down and come up with a legit rule of what a catch is.
Definitely, because it's so confusing because one week, nobody knows. Even the players. I mean, look, I think Le'Veon Bell and somebody else, and Juju maybe, Juju Smith-Schuster, they tweeted, like, you know, very similar to – it's so tough because – one week, it might one set of refs, it might be ruled one way. The other set of refs, it might be ruled another way.
Everybody's going to
They got to have a defined rule, make it clear, make everybody involved.
Exactly.
Right. But, Jeff, let's hear these six plays.
Yeah, Jeff, right. What are the six plays?
The first big play in the game that I thought kept the Eagles in kept the momentum on their side, it was the drive where Gostkowski missed the field goal. Third and two on a reverse, Rodney McLeod lays out Brandon Cooks.
Right.
That's number one.
Was that wasn't the one he got hurt, right?
No, that was the run play on third and two when Cooks went to hurdle him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
but he could have just – he had space, and he's fast as hell. He could have just ran around the corner.
He could have got around.
He could have.
I don't know what – he was trying to just be too pretty.
I don't know why he tried to hurdle. I have no idea.
Nuts in the face there, though.
I'm not an NFL player. I don't know his thought process during that play. But if I have that speed, I'm making some sort of move and I'm getting around.
I think
the
he got a little glamorous and wanted a nice photo for the wall.
I mean, that also could have been it. Could have been it. His thought process in his head. Maybe I can get over him.
My second play, all of us have seen single-handedly how good the Patriots are with around and under the 2-minute warning this season, especially against Jacksonville. Third and four with 5:55 remaining. The Eagles run the ball, and Ajayi picks up 26 and got a big first down to keep that drive alive on, like, their own 30-yard line.
Yeah. You know what's big to this Super Bowl? Is I think New England uncharacteristically tackled poorly. I mean, it seemed like every time they needed to make a stop defensively, like running the ball, they just missed tackles. They did not tackle at all. Like, and I'm not saying – I mean, definitely Ajayi is a big back. LeGarrette Blount is huge. Clement is a physical runner too. And their receivers are kind of big besides Torrey Smith. But it was bad. It was bad tackling the entire game.
It was bad. Poor tackle.
It was lazy. It was bad. Yeah. So I think that, you know, I don't remember if that play was missed tackles. But
I mean, I give you one example right off the bat. We said it about what 20 minutes ago. Jeff, I think that wheel route.
That was right after that play.
Who did he stiff arm on that play? Because that was just That was
Drew Harmon for New England. I'm not
Drew
sure.
Harmon or Chung. It's Drew Harmon, I think, number 30.
Embarrassed him.
Yeah. All you had to do, he was so pierced. He was waiting like on his heels. Just go after me, Clement. And then Clement was running right at him.
And that set up a touchdown at the end of the first half, that 55-yard wheel route.
Right.
Then 22-13 going into half.
By the way.
New England scores to make it 22-19. And on the following Eagles possession, third and six. Aguilar runs a crossing route underneath and spins out of a tackle. Sean, there you go. Missed tackle.
Yep, there's another one.
And gets a first down.
Yep.
Huge kept the drive alive, kept them from going three and out. What else do I got? Patriots take the lead, 33-32 now in the fourth. Third and six, and Ertz picks up seven.
Yeah.
On the same drive, fourth and one, Ertz gets a 2-yard catch.
Yeah, that was a big play. I just saw that here on TV, watching the replay of the game now. That was a huge play.
Obviously, the last play is the Brandon Graham strip sack of Tom Brady.
It's about to come on right now. Perfect timing.
Yeah.
Again, Brady's just walking out for that last drive. Well, the second to last drive when he stripped it.
Now, Raiders fans are thinking, you know, that tuck rule, goddamn.
He tried to sell that tried to sell this strip as a throw. So it was so obvious, though.
It wasn't even
the ball was
it was so clearly a
Barnett,
fumble.
Barnett recovered it before he even, like, started his motion to throw.
He was throwing air.
Right. Yeah, but
drunk Stevie Wonder could have found some of those receivers open.
Who was credited for that sack?
That was
Brandon Graham.
And who Barnett? Did Chris Long have something to do?
He
with
was
that
close.
Play?
He had pressure on it too. He was close, but I think
they both
is it right here, right here, right here.
Side of that offensive line.
Yeah. They had all their I think they called it, I remember the Giants used to call it the NASCAR package when you have all your best pass rushers out there.
Correct. Yeah.
They had long
what, JPP, the
year we yeah, they had Long at the end, then Barnett at the end, they had Fletcher Cox who's a beast, who didn't really do much. But
he clogged lanes up.
But they were so gassed up though, hyped up the whole week. But I mean, don't get me wrong, the one play they did make was the play of the game that won them the Super Bowl with the strip sack right here. But they didn't get that pressure. Like, Brady was able to step up and, you know, make some throws and have open receivers. But when they needed a defensive play, the Eagles, they got it. And it was a fortunate bounce. It kind of hit off his Barnett's foot and just went right up his hands.
You know, the football is a funny-shaped object. And for it to bounce straight up like that and land in the
straight up right into his hands. So anything else about the Super Bowl? Any other stories? Commercials? Commercial, Eli and Odell commercial. What do you think, Jeff? I think that was hilarious.
I thought it was pretty funny.
I thought it was the best commercial ever.
I was laughing hard at that. I also liked the Morgan Freeman commercial.
Oh, yeah.
With Peter Dinklage.
And
that one.
The Alexa losing her voice with Gordon Ramsay. Criticizing the guy for making grilled cheese.
Yeah, that was great. That was great.
Overall, I think it was one of the best Super Bowls in recent memory.
Yeah, in terms of the game, the halftime, Justin Timberlake killed it. He was good.
It was good all around. It was. I mean, I didn't get the outcome I wanted. It pains me to say, you know, the Eagles deserved it. They did. But, I mean, I was really hoping for – I wasn't hoping for a blowout because we all remember – Seattle, Denver.
Broncos-Seattle was an awful game. It was over in the first quarter.
Exactly. Right after that safety over Peyton's head. That sucked. But, I mean, we were treated to a great game.
Yeah, and it was a crazy game because it was – if I'm going to sum it up, it was just like back and forth. It was a heavyweight fight. As it don't want to sound cliche, but it really was. It was two great teams, the two best teams in the league all year. Just throwing haymakers at each other. Big play here, touchdown, missed extra point, missed field goal, another touchdown, comeback. Especially in the second half, man. It was the second half was just wide open. Like just play after play after play. And you gotta give credit to Brady because Brady played a hell of a game. You gotta give credit, you know, Gronk had a great game, the receivers had a great game, but the real credit is two people, I think. It's Nick Foles and Doug Peterson. Because the one thing when you play the Patriots is it seems that teams – the Giants didn't do this in the two Super Bowls they beat them, but they seemed like the Jaguars did it, the Falcons did it. They see take their foot off the gas pedal, you know?
Yeah, Sean and I, you and I
– we talked about that in the first podcast, the first episode.
You can't let up against them.
You can't let up, and the Eagles didn't. And you could tell even by the play calls, even though we were criticizing him for throwing the ball late in fourth quarter, throwing the ball, he's aggressive, man. He takes shots. He takes risks, calculated risks, but he takes risks. I mean, that's how you got to beat the Patriots because you can't give them a chance. If you give them a chance, they're going to jump on you, you know?
Once they're down, you got to keep
them. Exactly. That's
it. And Philly did a great job doing that. Obviously, Atlanta, like you guys said, they didn't. Yeah. But if I could just get off topic for a second, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, at the bottom of the screen, the ticker, I'm reading the NFL Honors Awards. You guys made predictions in the first episode that I wasn't around for. What do you think about Tom Brady getting
MVP? We both
it's a quarterback award.
Yeah,
quarterback-driven award.
That's exactly what we said.
I agree.
It was a quarterback-driven.
I feel like it's always going to go to a quarterback.
We said that We said that we both think that Todd Gurley deserved it.
2,093 scrimmage yards. How do you not give it to him?
Yeah, that's what we both said. We said that we think Brady's going to win it, but we think Gurley is the one that deserves it.
You take Brady out, I guarantee the Patriots go at least 10-6. You take Gurley out, what do the Rams finish at?
Especially in the beginning of the year when they had Jimmy G there. And we all saw how Jimmy G, he still hasn't lost to the starter. You know, that was before the trade. I mean, after the trade, Brian Hoyer's a little different, but I still think they'd be all right.
Now, my pick for MVP was pretty much, I'm not going to say the whole season, but towards the end, midway point, before he got injured, was Carson Wentz.
He would have been. If he didn't get hurt, he would have been.
If he didn't get hurt,
he was going to run away with it.
Plus the Super Bowl victory, I 100% think he should have gotten it. But since he was, they're not going to give it to him after the ACL injury.
Yeah, he missed time, yeah.
Which is a shame.
I think
I think it should have went to Gurley, or maybe Antonio Brown's name was thrown around, but I think Gurley should have gotten it.
Yeah, I think Jeff, overall on our reward awards, I think the only one we got wrong was Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah.
Aaron Donald.
We mentioned Aaron Donald. We talked about how
guardable he is.
Yeah,
but we both thought it was Jacksonville.
Yeah, he had an awesome
I thought it was going to be Campbell when he Calais Campbell from Jacksonville.
Calais Campbell.
And Jeff thought it was Jalen. Yeah.
He had a healthy year, too.
I mean, look, that was one of the best defenses in the league. But Aaron Donald, you know, another great year. We got the Offensive Rookie of the Year and Alvin Kamara, right?
Alvin Kamara was a runaway with it. He's turned it into probably one of my favorite players in the league. I love the guy. He had a hell of a season.
He's just dynamic, man.
And I wish the Saints made it a little further, but he's great. Plus the Saints on the other side of the ball, they had Lattimore.
Yeah, that was – you know what's crazy? I mentioned that the Saints had the offensive and defensive rookie of the year, and the Rams had the offensive player, defensive player, and coach of the year.
Coach of the year. What do you guys think about that? I like Sean McVay.
I think after – yeah.
Now, a lot of people think that
– yeah, I mean, after the Super Bowl.
But I think he would much rather –
it's a regular season award. It's a regular season award. Don't get me wrong. Exactly. But the Rams were a joke last year.
Exactly. He turned the whole organization around. They said, what are they doing hiring this 31-year-old guy? You know, 31-year-old guy. Or I think he was 30 when he got hired, but – a lot of people are saying, well, what are the Rams trying to do here? But it paid off. It paid off.
And if you listen to Donald, Aaron Donald and Todd Gurley's speeches, they were quick to credit McVay for changing the culture and changing everything.
Everything. Changed the whole attitude, the whole atmosphere, the locker room.
Yeah, he was great.
He did a hell of a job. So congratulations to him and the Rams. That's another team I would have wished to see go a little further.
I mean, they're still young.
After the game, the Saints and the Rams played – in the regular season, that was my NFC Championship game. I was praying for that.
I really wanted Drew Brees to get a second ring this year. Just because, you know, the Packers weren't in it, so they weren't going to win.
But think, I mean,
wanted Brees to get a second ring.
Brees has a young team. They're going to be good next year, too. You know, get him
plus the guy throws for like 5,000
yards. And he didn't even he doesn't have to anymore, which is crazy. You know, they got Mark Ingram.
Exactly. Now they got
have
the running
Ingram
game.
And Kamara.
And they have
their defense is good. And I mean, if they're going to have another draft like they had last year, they got Kamara, Marshawn Lattimore, and Ryan Ramczyk. They got three starters that dominated, and they got three of them in the draft. But look, the Giants can't with Jerry Reese. Besides Odell, they can't draft anybody. You know, so it's crazy how 1 year they could get the offensive rookie, defensive rookie, and an offensive tackle. That's a right tackle now, might be eventually a left tackle, but right tackle now, and he had a great year, and they got him all in the same draft.
Oh, here's the thing I want to bring up. I'm sorry to cut you off, Sean. I just because it just popped up on TV. Maybe you saw it too. What the hell were the Patriots doing on the return?
I don't know.
With 58 seconds left, they tried to do that reverse
with Burkhead and Deion Lewis.
Yeah. What the hell were they doing there? I mean, that just didn't make any
absolutely.
Sense to me.
Dude, if
they were green jerseys,
they wasted 10 seconds.
You wasted about 8 seconds. You lost.
They started at the 9 when they could have probably started at like the 15. I mean, it's only 6 yards. I don't know what Brady was that first throw. If Brady made that first throw to Hogan on first down, that's a game changer because he would have got out of bounds at like the 35, 40.
Would have got out of bounds.
Yeah, plenty of time.
Left.
And then. But
about the 30
I think his issue was he was looking early. He was looking early in this series. He was looking downfield, and he had Gronk. I mean, it was short, but he had Gronk to get maybe 10, 15 yards because they were playing four down linemen, and then everybody else was
15 yards up the ball. He got 27 yards on two plays, Gronkowski.
Yeah, he could have gone that early. Look at this play.
That added to Brady's 505 also. They're just playing prevent. It's chunk. Yeah. Chunk coverage.
But, so I think, like we said, Super Bowl, one of the better Super Bowls we've seen in a while.
In recent memory, I think it was one of the best. It was certainly, I was expecting, high-scoring game, but not 41.
No, yeah, I didn't think it was that high-scoring.
I was thinking maybe low 30s to high 20s, but definitely not 41 to 33.
But
so, thank you to New England and Philly for treating us to
it was another good year. I mean, a lot of controversies up and down in the NFL, but the NFL, it's just something, especially when, people of this generation and right now, we just can't get enough. Like, I can't get enough of football. I never played football, but I can't get enough.
It's bittersweet.
I live and breathe it.
Yeah, it's between watching the games on Sundays with
future coach Jeff McSweeney.
Watching the games on Sundays with your friends or your anybody you want or by yourself, whoever you watch it with. Then doing fantasy, having multiple fantasy teams and tracking your players, having a favorite team, either having a great week or a terrible week, starting off on Sunday if your team loses. This a lot of bad weeks this year with the Giants. Luckily, I had a Yankee fan. The Yankees had a great postseason, but and then the playoffs are, the only thing that can compete, I think, that much. It's different because in football and unlike any other sport, it's just one game, So if you have one bad game.
Yeah.
Your season's over, in baseball and hockey and basketball, you're in a series. Yeah. But it's another great year. And, now we got look forward to free agency.
That's what I want to talk about next before we end here. Yeah. Free agency or maybe some trades that can happen. What do you guys think will happen with Kirk Cousins? We talked a little bit about it, but just to keep it short, what team do you think he's going to go to?
Yeah. I think the best
– Denver.
All right, so I got the best Jets, fit.
But I
the
think
best
Denver.
Fit is Denver because they already have elite defense and they have pieces there.
Right.
They will be cutting either Demaryius Thomas or
they'll have to.
Just the open space.
Or they need money. They need cap space. The Jets have the most money to offer. The Jets have the most money to offer. Them and the Browns. I don't think he'll go to the Browns or the Jets. I think Denver's the fit.
I would go to the Jets because, I think that's where
quarterbacks
go to die.
I think he should really think about the Vikings. They don't know if they have the money, and they have Keenum and stuff.
This won't happen, but if
he's on Jacksonville, that's immediately a better team. I'm not trying to bash Blake Bortles because he had a great postseason.
Cousins is better.
It's 100%
right. Kirk Cousins is not a top tier quarterback, but he's in that second tier. With like a Derek Carr and a Cam Newton, kind of Marcus Mariota, maybe a little Matt Ryan, kind of like just behind Brady and Breeze and Rodgers and Russell Wilson, and Carson Wentz after this year. Big Ben, yeah, but he's in that second tier, and he's performed. I don't know what it is about the Redskins not wanting to give a big long-term contract to him because he deserves it. He won them a division. They've been competitive. This year they struggled.
Committed guy.
Struggled because all his receivers were gone. Terrell Pryor was a bust.
I personally think Kirk Cousins is more of like a Jekyll and Hyde kind of quarterback. He has glimpses of
I could see that, yeah.
Like him shining, and he also has games where you're like, "What the hell is he doing?"
Yeah,
right.
I could see that.
I don't know.
I mean, when he plays the Giants, he's awful. Like that last game against the Giants, I think it was the last game of the year. He played awful. But
the Giants usually have a defense.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants had a good defense this year for the most part. Besides the lack of effort they had, they just couldn't score.
It looked like they gave up.
That's another time for another day.
Way too many times. I mean, one you give up once, it looks like, that's just terrible to begin with.
It's too much.
It looked like that defense just did not want to compete.
Yeah, if you guys watched the NFL Honors, Rob Riggle, the host, went out, was ripping on Ben McAdoo. It was hilarious. We're making fun of his look and everything. But and Odell was just sitting there in the front row, just not making any facial expression, not saying anything.
Yeah, deep down, he was laughing.
Deep down, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
But, I think Kirk Cousins, Denver's a fit. He could, but I think Jacksonville would be a nice wild card in the Vikings. Who's another big free agent? I mean, I guess Malcolm Butler now. He's going to be a free agent. I think the Packers, like you guys, we said earlier in our group text, Packers would be great because they don't have corners, man. They don't have a defense. If they get a defense with Aaron Rodgers, I mean, watch out.
Jeff, I know you'd love that, Malcolm Butler.
I would rather, I mean, ever since the Super Bowl, they've had a bottom-tier defense. You know, and I've said this before. I've tweeted it to some of our friends, maybe even you guys. You can win in the NFL with solid corners. You don't need guys like Champ Bailey and Ty Law in coverage. If you can pressure the quarterback and rush him and get him out of his rhythm with pass rush, you can win football games.
Look at the Giants versus Super Bowl. They had Corey Webster and R.W. McCorders or something like that. You know, I don't remember the rest of them, but they had. But then on the D line, they had Tuck, they had OC, they had Strahan. Yeah, they had, you know, they had an elite, you know, pass rush, and they got to Brady. I mean, you don't need, you know, if you're the Jaguars and you have, you know, AJ Boye and Jalen Ramsey, because Jalen Ramsey is on a rookie contract, that's great, but they also have the pass rush.
Might be the best
player. I would like if the Packers got Malcolm Butler, but again, you got to
at a reasonable price.
You need a pass rush.
Yeah.
We'll get into the draft stuff in another podcast, but
once we get closer, they need to get pass rushers.
Yeah, they need Pat. Yeah, definitely. They need to. I mean, they just have to get a defense there.
Another free agent. Le'Veon Bell.
He's going to stay in Pittsburgh. Right? I don't see him leaving.
I think he's going to stay too, but it's nice to, you know, think about what if.
Odell's trying to recruit him, but that's not going to work. No, they're not. They have other needs.
We have way too many of them.
Yeah, I don't see him going anywhere besides Pittsburgh. He clearly wants to stay in Pittsburgh.
Got to stay. I mean,
look at him. He's so valuable.
Keep the Killer Bees together. You got Ben, Antonio Juju. Brown. Juju is just an unbelievable player.
Yeah. You guys think
Drew Brees is going to be staying in New Orleans?
Yeah, he's technically a free agent. So is
Jimmy. Stay. He's done. He went from the Chargers to the Saints. He's going to stay a Saint for the rest of his career.
Jimmy G is technically a free agent, but he's not going anywhere.
One I heard this from you, Sean, Jarvis Landry, Chicago.
God forbid. Keep him out of the NFC North.
He's good. He's good, man.
Yeah.
No, as a greedy Giants fan who also loves Jarvis Landry, I would love to see him and Odell.
Got Odell and Jarvis, who are best friends.
You know it's a spot? Is San Francisco. If you pair him with Jimmy G, you know, because think about it. Yeah. He's having monster years with Ryan Tannehill and Jay Cutler, quarterback, and Matt Moore occasionally.
With pretty much no.
Yeah. And Jimmy G went 5-0 with Marquise Goodwin as number one. No offense to Marquise Goodwin.
The 49ers were a laughing stock. A laughing stock this year. Now, to be fair, they are in the rebuilding process. But after they got Jimmy Garoppolo from New England, they just kept winning.
Yeah, 5-0. He hasn't lost as a starter.
Now, he only went in because
Beathard got hurt.
Because of injury, yeah. But here comes Jimmy Garoppolo, and it's a whole different offense.
I think that's a spot.
Now, he's a hell of a football player. He's a great
Baltimore could be a spot, too. But I don't know if he's going to leave.
Baltimore for Jarvis, yeah.
I don't know if he's going to leave, though.
I can see that.
Now, both of you guys are Giant fans, and my football mind is going to work right now. How would you like this scenario as Giant fans? Patriots left tackle, Nate Solder is going to be a free agent. The Giants sign him in free agency and draft Saquon Barkley at number two.
I would love to have Saquon because he's just unreal. He's a
once in a generation talent.
From what I've heard, the Giants, in quotes, have said they're going to take the best player on the board. Now, to me, the best player in the entire draft is Saquon Barkley. But
I'm saying, how would you like if they sign Nate Solder?
Oh, it'd be great. I mean, who
anybody but Eric Flowers. That's the key. Anybody but Eric Flowers.
I think that would be awesome if they can make that work. If they can get Solder, even if they don't get Saquon, if they could just get Nate Solder in.
Because the Patriots probably won't pay Nate Solder big money because he's entering his 30th season.
Age 30 season, right?
Yeah.
I thought you said 30th season. Yeah. Like, dude, he's been in the league that long.
Yeah, there's the 30th too.
Think it's a tough situation. It's a tough situation, I guess, for the Giants because Eli's getting up there. And when are you ever going to have the second pick unless they have another bad year? And there's a great class. And you could, you know.
Right. You
can it's
get
tough.
It.
You know what I would try to do, though?
This is it. Who's gonna
I would try
him?
To do is.
You want Baker.
I want Baker, but not at two. I'm not taking Baker at two.
No. Maybe trade
back. I would trade back. I mean, if Denver doesn't sign Cousins, I would trade back with Denver and try to get multiple picks because the Giants need so much. That's the thing, you know?
Yeah, it just depends what direction you want to start in.
Because if you can move back and get multiple – I don't know how you can get multiple first-round picks, but if you get multiple first-round picks in this draft – and you can get one of the Notre Dame offensive linemen, and then maybe like a Baker or Josh
Allen.
Notre
Dame's guard, I forget his name.
Quentin Nelson,
apparently a monster.
Oh, dude, Jeff, I'm a big Notre Dame guy. Me and Lindu over here, another one of our friends. But he had I think it was the LSU bowl game. This last game, he literally just picked some D end up who's a prospect, not one of the top prospects, but he's a prospect to go to the NFL either this year or next year, and just tossed him to the ground like a rag doll. He is ridiculous how good he is. Like he coming out, he might be coming out of the draft, coming into the draft better than Zach Martin was coming into the draft.
I think they compared him. He's got he's stronger than Zach Martin, and he's got the footwork of a wide receiver. Like
yeah, he's so ridiculous. Agile. And they have the other guy. Notre Dame has, and then he was the left guard, and then the left tackle, Mike McGlinchey, who was probably more of a right tackle in the NFL because his feet might not be that great. He was great, too. They have two potential first-round picks, potential all-pro offensive linemen on their left side of the line. That's why they were able to have such a great year, Notre Dame. But, yeah, I think, you know, we'll obviously get really in-depth with the draft as it comes closer, talk about different positions, different players, stuff, and more about Baker Mayfield, my boy Baker Mayfield, big Baker guy.
If you look at some of these mock drafts, I mean, they're all over the place, but for the most part, everyone at number one has Darnold going to Cleveland, which I don't disagree with.
So, but
then it just depends what the Giants want to do. What do they want to get Rosen, which is great. Do they want to get Saquon, which is incredible, or do they want to trade? There's just so many different directions you can do as the New York Giants at this point. It just depends which way you want to go.
So, I mean, you know, I think, we'll obviously the league year starts March 14th, I believe. So we'll get, as it gets closer to March and end of February, February's a short month, but as we get end of February, we'll start talking more about the draft and free agency and stuff like that.
All these storylines,
the Alex Smith trade come in during the Super Bowl week and Cousins and all that drama and all this, you know, what if. But, I think it was a great Super Bowl week. Minneapolis did a great job, even though it was freezing. I mean, we weren't there, but from what we heard, it was freezing. Next year will be in Atlanta. Yeah. Next year the Super Bowl will be in Atlanta in a beautiful stadium. So all I could say is this is another good podcast, and excited for the NFL offseason to come, and of course, baseball to start next week.
March Madness coming up.
March Madness, yeah. Basketball's getting to the All Star game. I mean, basketball this year has been awful, but that's another topic for another.
It's been awful.
Another topic. But
basketball hasn't started yet for me.
But so I think it was another good episode, and we'll have to catch you guys another time.
Can I get one more thing in before we sign off here? I meant to bring this up a few minutes ago. Got off topic. Sorry about that. But both of you, give me three teams that did not make the playoffs this year that you think will be in the playoffs next year.
Number one is the Packers.
Yeah, Jeff will go first.
Agreed.
Packers, teams that didn't make the playoffs.
Maybe the 49ers even.
I think the Ravens.
Ravens, yeah, well, that was a bad Week 17 for Baltimore fans. Buffalo crept in there right at the end.
And I wouldn't, depending on how the draft goes, I wouldn't sleep on the Cleveland Browns.
I could see that. I'm not going to lie. I could see that.
I can see it, too.
They had a good defense this year. If they get a quarterback with Josh Gordon, they have the number one and the number four pick in the draft. They could have a very good offense this year.
Yeah. They could be competitive.
I agree with him. They played some tough games. I mean, they went 0-16, but, you know, a lot of those losses were, you know.
AFC North is not, I mean, it's a physical division, but other than the Steelers, the other two teams are like.
Average at best.
Yeah, they can be beaten.
Yeah, so I think my three, I'll go
Sean,
Packers,
three?
I think, if Rodgers can stay healthy, definitely.
Cross our damn fingers.
Yeah. I got one. It depends on what they do in free agency in the draft, but I could see the Raiders. I mean, they were 12-4 two years ago, and they just had a bad year.
Got a new coach
coming in, new mindset. He's a tough guy, hard as hell coach. Yeah, I mean, he has been out for a while, but they have a talented team. They really do. They have to address a couple spots.
They need
a
defense.
Yeah, they need a better defense. My third, I was kind of bouncing off the Ravens. I could see. I didn't really like their offense.
I like Cleveland more than Baltimore.
I could see that, yeah.
Yeah, but that's not two out of that. That's not a lot of people are going to listen. And say,
you know,
well,
I got one. I got
about, but that's a very good. It's a very.
I got
good
one. The LA Chargers, because middle to end of the year, and then just kind of fell short.
Right.
But they got a good team. I mean, Rivers been good. Keenan Allen had a monster year. Melvin Gordon. Then they have Bosa and Ingram. They have a really good defense.
They have good raw young talent, and Phillip Rivers is a very good quarterback. You know, he's getting up there, and
I guess we'll have to get back to this question again and ask it again as we get after the draft, after free agency.
The preview for the season, like maybe right before next season starts.
Exactly. So, all right.
My three teams real quick, kind of based on off your – obviously Green Bay. I'm a big Aaron Rodgers guy. People who don't know me love the guy to death. If he could stay healthy, 100% Green Bay should win that division. Green Bay at number one. Number two, I don't want to say Baltimore, but I think I might have to. But this is off the top of my head. And if Jimmy G can keep it going, definitely.
And if they address they're young. They got talent.
They play their cards right. I mean, definitely.
They have some good talent. I mean, Solomon Thomas is solid. Reuben Foster, if he stays healthy, is good. They won five games with Jimmy G. They closed the year on a 5-game winning streak. They destroyed the Jaguars. They have a lot of money in free agency too. And they got a good pick.
I'd love to see the 49ers get back on the map. I mean, they were with Kaepernick and Alex Smith, they were incredible with Harbaugh as the coach. They lost the Giants NFC Championship game. You know, that was nice. But, I mean, they just have not been good. But things are starting to look up in San Francisco, and I hope they can continue it, especially Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, fingers crossed, stays healthy. They handle everything correctly. They got the young talent, like you said, Solomon Thomas and Reuben Foster. They can definitely make the playoffs, especially with Seattle falling off.
Yeah, I think their window's closed.
And now one more question just popped into my head. Going forward, what do you think happens with New England?
Belichick, Brady, and Kraft are actually having a meeting. I'm not sure when it is to discuss the future of the team.
Now, none of them are leaving. I mean, they lost today officially. They lost Patricia.
They'll probably lose McDaniels in the next couple of days.
There are rumors that McDaniels He, you know, verbally agreed to go to the Colts, but now there's rumors that he's going to stay. But I don't think he will. I think
he's and they, you know what they said as a replacement for Patricia is Greg Schiano, which I'm like, I don't know about that, but.
Used to coach Tampa Rutgers. Bay,
and he, now he's Ohio State defense coordinator.
He's a good defensive.
And he's close.
He do good there.
He's close to Belichick.
Belichick, right. You know, to put in perspective how brilliant he is, he recruits big out of the Northeast and especially Rutgers. When these guys are at Rutgers, they don't win a game. When they go to New England, they're winning Super Bowls.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I mean, look, Jason McCourty, Harmon, who got the pick yesterday. Who else was a Rutgers guy they had? They have a bunch of Rutgers guys.
There was 1 year Rutgers did not score a single point against the Big Ten. I forget what year that was. They go to New England, and they're winning Super Bowls.
And they win.
And it's not like we're Rutgers haters because we're not Rutgers haters because we're from New Jersey. That's the state, you know, school in New Jersey.
Mind Rutgers.
We want them to do well because it's good for people recognizing. Yeah, we know people. I know of people that are on the team because they're local kids, but they are just not a big time football program. They were with the 1 to 2 years with Ray Rice, but.
Then again, the Florida Gators used to be a big team, my Florida Gators, and now look at them. But, you know, that's a story for another podcast. So.
All right. I think
great second episode, guys.
Great second episode. Then we'll have to get back later in the week.
Thanks for having me this time, and look forward to episode 3.
So, all right.
Later.
Thanks for listening.
Have a good one.